All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to 615 Guys, the number one podcast recorded on a ping pong table. We're excited to bring you guys episode 15 today. We got Sean.
What's up?
We got Connor.
Hello.
We have myself, Jackson, and we got Mr. Ditton Dodson.
Hello, hello.
Very, very special guest today.
The one and only, Hayden Rigsby.
Hayden Rigsby.
What's up, Hayden?
How you doing? You doing good?
Yeah, I'm doing good. How you doing?
Hayden's actually seen us record an episode before way back in the day. We had old Scott Meyer on the pod. Hayden was his accomplice and helped cheer him on.
Actually, shout out to Scott real quick. He is actually doing 102.5 right now in the zone. He's their producer.
Really?
He's helping out do Predators games, Nashville SC, Sounds games. He's like the producer over there. So he like runs all the ads and all that stuff. So he's doing a really good job. Actually, that's what he's wanting to do, that and write music. So he's doing good right now. So
his like football career is that?
Oh, his football career is going good right now. Okay. He's just gotta find the right spot for him right now. Mm-hmm. It's kind of early in the game. I mean, it's just a waiting game for him right now. So
yeah. So any of you OG listeners wanting to know how where is Scott? Well there is Scott.
Yes.
You know,
there
Scott,
he is.
Yep. Scott Meyer. Before we get really going into this episode, we want to thank you for our sponsor for this week. Connor, take it away.
The sponsor for this week is my grandma, D-Dye. That's what I call her. So thank you, D-Dye. And she wanted me to say that if any other grandmas wanted to sponsor us, you should do it.
615 Guys loves grandmas.
Yes. Thank you for your viewership.
She was actually, fun fact for any of you, this is a little history for 615 Guys. She made the name.
Yeah,
615 Guys.
She sent me a list of names
totally
of our podcast.
Didn't she also want to do like a whole grandma's episode? Or is that Jackson's?
I think that's my grandma.
Yeah, there was an early idea that we were going to have all our grandmas on for an episode, and that would be the guest. So all you grandmas listening, your friends might be on here.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, but that's an interesting. We'll hint on that later.
that may be an episode for the future.
Yeah, maybe.
Hayden, you know, what you been up to? I mean, obviously, we got football going on. You're a big long snapper.
Well, right now with long snapping, I'm kind of early in the recruitment process. Right now, it's more visits. I kind of waiting. I just got my I've been 4.5, ranked 25, 5th right now in the nation. Got to keep on working, though.
For 5 stars, baby.
But, I mean, I'm looking for it. It's getting there. I mean, that's the dream, is to be a 5-star, but I mean, right now, I'm just looking at
you. No, I'll settle for 4.5.
I'll settle for it.
You know, no big deal. You know, 4.5 out of 5.
One of the things that I was kind of searching for with my journey in long snapping was I didn't care about the stars, man. My dream is to go play college football somewhere and play Division 1. I don't have the God-gifted abilities to be 6'4", 6'5". So I kind of started long snapping in 6th grade. I started with James Wilhoyd Snapper. Adam Miles, he kind of trained me, got me started. Then I went to my first Rubio camp in 7th grade. Met Russ Height there. He was a snapper at MTSU, taught me everything I know. Started working with Craig Montgomery. He helped me out a lot, kind of tweaked everything. Then after that, I hit up Scott on Instagram. So that's how I met Scott.
Shout out Scott Meyer.
Yeah, so I hit up Scott. I started working with him. Then I started working with Matt Overton, who is now actually made the found out today he made the 53-man roster in the NFL. He will be long snapping for the Chargers this year, so that's a good thing to know. But so I mean, everything's going good right now. I got my talk to my recruitment coordinator in New Jersey, Adam Talinsky. He's helped me out a tremendous through all the recruiting process. So I mean, my main schools right now are sitting there on the table, just kind of waiting for one of them to take me up. So
is there anyone like in specific that you'd really like want to go to?
Other than Alabama.
I mean, listen, that's a dream, man, but I mean, it is what it is.
Out of the ones you're looking at.
Okay, so my main ones right now, I'm not in order, but Louisville, Western Kentucky, Cincinnati, Middle Tennessee, Austin Peay. I got a full ride right now to Cumberland, which is a great opportunity. They've really blessed me with that. I mean, I kind of was like down in the dumps, and then they offered me. I mean, nothing too big. Just kind of, it was like, man, we really want you to come play for us, and I mean, get to play for a hometown team, so it'd be really good to play all my 4 years, you know, for Lebanon, and then go to Lebanon, then go to Cumberland, and just get to, you know, put out for the city. So,
any offer, you know, in college football is like
most definitely
great opportunity.
Oh yeah, it's I mean, these kids put on all this work and everything, And everybody always like, man, that sucks that you're playing at Cumberland or NAI. These kids worked their whole life. I mean, they might not just have the size. They're still great athletes and everything like that.
I mean, there's definitely some hidden gems, even at the NAIAs. Yeah. I mean, always the professional guys that will go to NAIA school that are studs. They just didn't get, they never got the light. So definitely not hitting down on any lower level schools. I mean, the college, just to play college, an athlete.
Most definitely. These kids, I mean, like I said, they work their butts off and just might not have the size, the speed, the grades, anything like that. Yeah. Like you said, I mean, the NFL, I mean, look at them. There's a bunch of them who didn't think that would turn out to be that good, and they're sitting there making millions right now.
People don't realize, I think, how small of a percentage of high school athletes go on to play college.
The percentage
is not even just football. That's every sport.
That's every
sport. The percentages get so much lower. I mean, you start off peewee or whatever, and then it gets smaller when you go to middle school, smaller when you go to high school, and then it's like a huge gap to college, and then even a smaller percentage that go pro.
Hayden, do you think whenever you're getting recruited for long snapping, all colleges look at is the number, like how fast it gets to the punter?
I feel like that. I mean, it's a big thing to be out there. Kind of like, I mean, the range that they want us at is 0.75 or below. Right now, I'm sitting at about a 0.69, 0.70, 0.68, 0.67.
That's really good.
So it's really good. One of their main things that they look at is you have to be consistent. I know, like I said, with Matt, my long snapping coach, he's always just hitting them right there in the chest. And that's one thing that they look at. He might not snap the fastest ball, but it's going to be smooth right there in the chest and hit you in the chest. That's one of the big things. They look for consistency, speed, if you can get downfield and cover, blocking, every little thing, man. Yeah.
Given you a bonus, like also being a lineman?
Most definitely. They actually, Louisville was one of the main schools that talked to me about that. They liked my size a lot and being able to block what they said, because they've been having a little bit of troubles with some people coming off the edge.
Yeah.
So just getting that extra man in there to block instead of getting downfield, they said would help them out a tremendous with the punt game. So that's one of the reasons that they said they liked me a lot was my size and my blocking ability. So it's helped me out a tremendous, though. It was just the steps and everything, playing tackle last year. I mean, the steps were very similar. So, I mean, it's very easy, I guess, now.
So going back to the whole percentage stuff, I just looked it up. And it says, overall, a little over 7% of high school athletes, so about 1 in every 13, will go on to play a varsity sport in college.
Which is any level.
Yes. And then less than 2% of high school athletes, so 1 in every 57 players, go on to play at an NCAA Division I school.
Huh. Yeah, and that's you hear 1 in 57, you don't think it's that much. But a lot of those big states are taking up a lot of that. So, even though technically
I think we talked about this the other day.
Technically, before. Even though it's 1 in every 57, regionally, it's going to be a whole lot smaller. Like, I mean, if you go to that California, Texas, Georgia, Florida,
all the big ones.
It's going to be actually 1 in 57. But then when you go, to North Dakota.
Like Vermont or something.
Yeah, just
like
a random
that.
Place, it's going to start being a smaller percentage. So, statistics in that, you really got to think about what is it regionally.
Yeah.
Because 1 in 57 kind of sounds like a lot, but I mean, think about in your grade, there's, 500 people. So that would be a lot of D1 athletes. But, I mean, just think about whatever high school you went to, how many D1 athletes are there?
Yeah. One thing I do like about the pod so far has been we seem to be a pod for the long snappers.
Yeah.
It's been like,
Hey, listen.
It's been a trend.
Listen, I like it a lot because, I mean, long snappers never get no love. You just kind of go out there and you snap the ball, basically.
Hey, exactly. You're an important part of the team.
A very important part.
They're just like the linemen. And the people often, I've heard the analogy of referring to linemen as AC. No one notices the AC.
It's gone.
Until it's gone, that's working. And so.
That is great.
Yeah.
Whenever you don't have a long snapper, you're kind of screwed.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And you see that in a bunch of games, like high school games.
Yeah, Connor, you have to step up.
Yeah. Hayden's going to have to start trading Connor for when he leaves. Yeah.
Well, see, that's the thing is in high school, I mean, you see most of these teams. I mean, 1 point's big and perfect laces on PATs. I mean, the right spot on punt, I mean, that helps out a lot for either the punter or the kicker. I mean, if you don't have, like, I know Scott, like I said, I remember him saying, saving on him a lot for just perfect laces. I mean, people don't think of that stuff a lot. But But, I mean, that's just so crucial to, like, a kicker.
Yeah, they never want the laces facing them.
Oh, no. Yeah. Because it hurt. I really don't know why. It's just a mental thing.
Kickers hate when the laces face them.
Yes. I never understood, but that's not the snapper's.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's.
Is it?
It could be. It's the snapper's fault. I mean, with the PAT, see, that goes back to consistency. Is they want it to be, I mean, it gets to a point where it's, like, consistently just right there every time the laces are
up. Well, yeah, because if you snap it kind of high, the holder's not going to have time to be able to
pick the laces up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know the holder flips it, but if the long snapper snaps it high, the holder doesn't have time to fix it.
Yeah, I know that, but I thought you meant you snap it and the laces when the
guy unless you can do
it,
that.
It has to be perfect.
Yeah, it's got to be perfect. Because I mean, listen.
Do you know how to snap it to where it gets to where it
spins? The laces aren't facing
you? Oh, yes. I can do that very easily. It just depends on your holder, and it depends on how far back. So my perfect laces are about 7.5.
What does that mean?
So 7 yards. Yeah, 7.5 yards.
Gotcha.
So you'll be right in the middle of the 7 and the 8.
Yeah.
So it honestly helps with the kicker a lot, and it helps with the holder.
So that's just
be
like
able to place it down, and it helps with the quickness too.
Especially in high school, because you know holders like harder to like spin it. You know.
Well, see with that, I mean, in college, you're going up against kids who's. I mean, they put them kids on airs who's run like 4.4s. 4.3s.
Yeah, they're getting there in a hurry.
They're getting there in a hurry. So, I mean, you want it to be as quick as possible or quickly as you possibly can. So, you can have your, you know, holder just sitting there piddling it with it the whole time and, you know, trying to turn in the laces. You want it to be right there so they can hold it down and the kicker can swoop through. It's a perfectly timed thing. And see, what's happened last year with Goskowski is the reason why he wasn't kicking the ball so well is because the snaps wasn't getting there right. So, I mean, it's kind of one of the things, I mean, that it kind of
it's
screwed
those,
up Goskowski.
It's those, hidden, it's those hidden plays nobody ever thinks about.
Oh, no, most definitely. It's one point that can, I mean, get you out of the game.
Yeah, because just like the laces facing the kicker, I mean, nobody thinks about that.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
you see a field goal kicker you see
and
a field goal kicker miss, and it's like, well,
yeah,
the kicker's fault.
Yeah.
Like, I know Auburn, Alabama, remember the when Mac Jones and Tua that year, it was it 2019?
Well, Alabama's kickers miss all the time.
Well, yeah, well, see, not this year. We got a Will Reichert. Who's a very good kicker.
Should have won the what's it called?
Didn't he work with Will Hoyt?
Yeah, Will Hoyt. Yeah, I know him, with James. But,
maybe we can get a little kicker pod.
Well, no, back to what
I
was saying.
A pod for the people. Kickers and long snappers are welcome.
Teams. Oh, yeah.
Special teams work.
Jackson's special team specialist.
No, you know it. Take our turn.
No, back to what, but they had, it was a kick that they missed, and everybody blamed it on Joseph Bulovas, and when it was not his fault, Tua had gotten hurt. So they had to bring Mac in to play holder, and he tilted the ball the wrong way, so he kind of swooped through it, and he missed it right when he should. I mean, if it was tilted the right way, he would have missed it. So, and people think it was Bulifus' fault.
Yeah,
it wasn't Bulifus' fault at all. It was
see maybe
the
we've
holders.
Learned.
Speaking of Mac Jones, if you're listening, congratulations, you're the starter.
Yeah, starting quarterback.
Just kidding.
Alabama's problems with kicking is their holder's fault. It's you heard it here.
Yeah.
It's not their kickers. For years now, it's always been their holders.
I guess Mac had to be – he must have learned his lesson and then, you know, really trained in the offseason some holding because –
Oh, yes.
Like we got a darn good kicker now.
Oh, yes.
You know, Tennessee's always had a good kicker, Samaglia. You know, he's a legend.
Is he still there?
He sat out this past year. I don't know if he probably transferred. Everybody transferred. But anyway, he's better than any Alabama kicker
ever. Hey, is Toa playing? He should.
Toa is playing.
He should.
He is playing.
I didn't read the depth chart yet, but I mean,
he is. I believe they had him like ranked as like a top linebacker this year.
Toto was good.
I just liked his name.
Listen,
Henry Toto.
Well, I feel like Alabama is going to be very stout this year.
Really? You don't say.
Well, I mean,
about time y'all have a good year. I mean, y'all are just always lacking with Vanderbilt.
Yeah. And after all the people that you see leave Alabama, it's crazy. And people, it's a contestant.
Y'all literally had the best recruiting class in college football history this past year.
Yes. And
literally.
Like I said, it's a contestant to all the recruiting coordinators at Bama and Saban. I mean, you got to think, lost everybody. Their quarterback, their main wide receiver, their whole O-line.
I mean, there's a lot of bandwagons out there. I mean, every year the great teams, players are going to go there.
Wait, Hayden, do you have any ties to Alabama, or are you just a fan?
Like ties?
Yeah, like
why
are
you
now
an Alabama
fan? Do you used to live there? Like, do you have?
Well,
any ties?
See, actually, I came out like my parents actually got season tickets in 1997. So I've been going to Bama games ever since.
So they were just bandwagons.
I guess so.
Honestly, you heard it here first.
Wait, I can't tell you. They weren't that good in 97.
Oh, no, they wasn't. See, he went through the, I mean, like my dad
That was
said.
Tennessee's prime year.
Oh, yeah. Those, exactly. They went through the Shula days, I mean, the DeBose days, all of them, dude. And then we finally got Saban. And luckily, I mean, my whole lifetime that I've been able to remember going to games, I remember my first game was actually at Neyland Stadium. It was 2008, and it was Alabama against Tennessee, and we won the game.
Really?
I was so happy. And I, the next game
I think y'all haven't lost since then.
No, we haven't. But I remember the next game I went to was actually in 2009 where we played you guys, and there was a block kick by Terrence Cody. And I remember
Mount Cody?
Yes. I remember stands. I remember it. And I was only five. I remember them just shaking. It's little stuff like that that you like don't like ever forget, man.
I met him. I met him at an Alabama game, and he had his – because he played with the Ravens a few years later and won a Super Bowl with them. And I remember seeing his huge ring. That thing was – people don't realize how humongous these Super Bowl rings are.
Yeah,
they've only gotten bigger.
Because if you think about it, their hands are huge. Yeah, and in the picture, the ring looks normal on their hand.
Yeah.
Their hand's huge.
He had his 09 championship ring on, and then he also had a Super Bowl ring on. And I'm like,
how much do you think one of those weigh?
I'd say about 2 pounds, maybe two.
2 pounds? No way.
Let's look at that. Let's
a baseball bat weighs like less than a pound. So think about having a whole baseball.
A baseball bat does.
Think about there's having a whole baseball bat on your.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, there's no way a baseball bat.
Okay, 1 pound. It's like a. Yeah. I don't remember the math.
That's crazy.
Maybe it's like a pound.
I mean,
and a half.
I feel like strong while swinging that bat, but it's like now it's like man, like 1 pound. My goodness.
Because think about it, it's 27 ounces, so it's just be how many ounces in a pound? 12 and a half. I don't know.
All right, so one of the
how many ounces is a pound? Is it 16? It's got to be 16, or is that liquid ounces? 16. So it's less than 2 pounds. A baseball bat is
really, but it's just because it's so like
I don't believe that.
Big,
though.
I don't know, like
I just no, it's
like,
less
all
right, than
so
2 pounds.
In 2002, I don't know who won it that year. I guess this was the Patriots. I don't know.
Probably.
60 to 70 grams in weight, and this is in 2002.
What's grams?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know all those. I don't know all those measurements, but like
we learned it in chemistry.
Shoot, I don't remember.
Just
chemistry.
Do it real quick.
I think it made it the weight is 9.25 carats.
Let me just do that math real quick in my head. You know, because I know that off the top of my head.
This is bad, guys.
It is 0.0004 of a pound.
Oh. What?
There you go.
The ring?
That's how heavy the ring is.
Oh, so it's.
Less
it's
than
gotta
a pound.
Be. It's gotta be.
It's actually less than a tenth of a pound.
It's
actually less than a hundredth of a pound. It's actually less than 1,000th of a pound.
It's so condensed
that
it can't be too heavy.
I don't even know why I said 2 pounds. That's a lot of weight.
Yes.
That's a lot of weight.
That's a lot of
weight.
I'm just sitting there thinking, like, man, that's
imagine
a lot
you
of
have
weight.
Like your whole hand.
Yeah, like
you're just doing you're just doing curls with your
finger shape.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So, if you're wondering, guys, not 2 pounds.
I wonder if a belt for a boxing match is 2 pounds.
Oh, yeah. Those like WWE belts they went after winning?
I bet the one that
heavy.
Jake Paul wore that was had LED
yes,
lights.
Yes, I'm wondering, how is that legal?
Did
that
you
would have
see
to hurt
that? That's,
that was
I
so
didn't
cool.
notice that until like I was getting like halfway through watching the fight.
Yeah, to like,
and it said Jake Paul, and it kept on just going. I was like,
yeah,
wait, what?
Forth, yeah.
I was like, this can't be like
well, see,
I
wonder how much that cost.
That was the first thing I noticed whenever I was watching the fight. We'll discuss the fight here in a second, but that was like... I was like, that is like maybe one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life. Because how do you think, how do you program in your waistband?
And how is that legal?
I mean, I'm sure.
That's
like,
wonder too. Like, how do you program that?
Yeah, like
that's crazy.
Insane.
What was on it?
They were LED.
Yeah, it's so, like yeah. I had Jake Paul just going around the belt. Like it was like LED.
Oh,
yeah.
Like the ones that are at like I don't know. Like,
oh,
yes.
Yeah,
and it just
up.
Goes
where
around.
They go
it kept
the
going
screens.
Around. Yes.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah, we're showing Sean a video now.
Jake Paul. Boxing.
Well, he also has that big, like, robotic armor thing that's freaking
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, I don't know what that
dude.
Is. But
I don't know what it is either, but it's super cool. Kind of like,
yeah,
well,
like
I remember.
It's like one of those things that are, like, NFL games, like, that'll
yeah,
be, like,
yeah,
sliding
yeah.
across.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, see, I remember the last fight. It was Tyson Fury against Deontay, or what?
Yeah, they're in the middle of the fight, yeah.
Was it Wilder or something like that?
The last fight?
Yeah, Fury and Wilder.
I remember he, like, made a big fuss about, like, him wearing, like, this big armor
yes,
thing and
yes,
saying that he
was, like,
out of shape.
40 pounds.
Yeah, it's like he was, like, out of or, like, he got down to the ring, like, he couldn't, like, because the armor that he wore down to the ring, yeah, like that, that made a big fuss about that, and that's why he lost. So,
So I'm sure everybody knows by now, Jake Paul did win the fight by a split decision. There were, Sean, you didn't watch the fight, correct?
I did not, no.
So we
it was like $60.
Hayden, did you watch
yes,
it?
Was
it
worth it? I actually no.
Yes, it was worth it.
It's not. It's it, yeah. The fight was, but it's not worth to. I mean, now with the internet and everything and YouTube, I mean, you can legit get done with the fight like in 5 seconds later. You can go watch it on YouTube for free. That's kind of like definitely after the McGregor Poirier fight. I've spent $80.
we paid to watch that, and that was awful.
It goes over in the first round. Like after that, I'm not spending no more money when I can just go watch the fight on YouTube. You know, and then you got people illegally streaming it is another big thing.
I know TikTok.
Yes, yeah. On TikTok and all that. I know that's one thing that what's his name? Dana White was running into was making sure that these people aren't like illegally streaming his like shows and all that.
Yeah.
So you got all that too. So you can always find somebody with the fight on or something like that. So.
Yeah. Well, with the way technology is today, that's the problems you run into, and you know that's gonna be here forever now. All that stuff.
I like the feeling of watching it live, though.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
I do too. Almost, yeah. I mean,
it's not like a football game, you know. It's like you want to watch it live.
It's way better. It's way better on your TV than having to watch it on your phone. With somebody recording it on their computer, and it's like
the Mayweather Paul fight.
That's what we had to do.
They made so much more money than this than Jake Paul's fight, because Jake Paul and Woodley made $2 million each. Floyd made $35 million.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
like he makes more. Like that's crazy. Anytime I think of Floyd Money Mayweather, I always think of like he makes like
so much
one
money.
Fight. What anybody would make in their like more.
Like a, yes,
more than a whole family and career would make, like more than a family or like a little
more than their
whole
families ever made.
It's like, crazy. Honestly, like it's almost worth it to just step in the ring
and just get knocked.
Yeah. Take one punch.
Yeah,
and be
Floyd,
like,
punch
I'm
me. I'm set.
That's literally what he said though. In his interview,
he's like, "This is a bank robbery.
I just do it for the money."
Yeah,
man. That's why he's Floyd Money Making Mayweather.
I mean, whatever you got to do to make some money.
Anyway, but what went down in the fight?
Okay, so it was actually a good fight. Like, I think this was like
it was definitely the best fight. Also, Jake allegedly retired from boxing.
I don't believe that 100%.
Logan did too.
Yeah.
I heard Jake after the fight like told him to get a tattoo of his.
He said, "I love Jake Paul, and I'll rematch you."
But they did bet that before the fight though. Like they made that bet before the fight, so I think it's pretty much saying as long as you go through with the bet, then I'll fight you again.
So basically, Sean, via actual boxing rules and scoring and stuff, Jake Paul did win the fight, but the rounds that Woodley won, he won a lot more than Jake won.
Yes.
And if the ropes were smaller, so if you fall through the ropes, you like automatically lose. And Woodley hit Paul onto the ropes, and he would have fallen through, but the ropes for some reason were like 10 feet high. But I don't know if they vary just by how tall the tallest person is. But, Jake won, like, rounds.
Well, so, the reason why Jake won is because he threw, like, 50 more punches.
Well, percentage-wise, he landed more
because he threw more.
His percentages were higher.
Yeah. So, before the fight, me and Denton thought that Woodley would win. Connor thought that Jake would win. Jake Paul would win. Did you have a person you thought was going to win, Rigsby?
I mean, honestly, I like Jake Paul a lot, but honestly...
We finally found somebody else who doesn't dislike
Jake Paul. Oh, dude, I love Jake Paul. I mean, the dude is making money. He's about like Conor McGregor. I mean, he's selling his fights. I mean, people want to watch him fight just because people hate him so much. I mean, people hating on him is getting him more money, so he's a smart man. Thought Woodley was probably going to win just because his...
Experience,
I thought he was going to get to the later rounds.
He just looks so much more in shape than Jake did.
See that, and that's what I was thinking. Is I thought like, man, like Jake's going to get to the later rounds, and like Woodley's going to knock him out or something like that.
Yeah.
Woodley's just going to piddle with him for a little bit, and then get to later rounds when Jake's tired. But listen, dude, I can tell you one thing, Jake Paul. I never didn't think I was going to say this, but he is a real fighter. I mean,
he had some experience. He went all the rounds.
I mean, listen.
So, in the rounds that Woodley won, Jake looked like
he was gassed, but that was only two rounds.
But those two rounds, it looked like it was going to be over.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm telling you, the two rounds he won, he dominated. And then Woodley really slowed down his pace, and they kind of just Jake would hit him three times. Woodley would hit him once, basically, and that's how it went for the next four rounds.
How old
Jake
is Woodley?
42.
35?
I don't know.
I think.
I mean,
he's a whole lot older than Jake Paul.
Well, I see. I know one thing that was working out for Jake was the he worked on his jab a lot.
He's
40.
He's 39. He's 39.
I mean, he quit YouTube to like focus on boxing.
Oh yeah, see, and
he's like invested.
He's 15 years older than Jake Paul.
Oh, he is?
How many? Yeah.
Jake Paul's 24. He's 39.
Didn't he have like UFC?
Jake Paul's also 4 inches taller than him.
He's been a UFC champion. And see, that's what I was thinking is like he's gonna get into these later rounds, and I mean, Woodley's already been through this war, like all these wars and stuff like that. And I mean, Jake's never had any competition.
I mean, he had never gone past like
the second round. So I just thought, but
because he looked gassed in like the fourth and fifth round.
Listen, all power to the man. I mean, he said he was a real fighter, and people didn't think so. And he went out there this past weekend and proved him wrong. So
One thing though that I can say was one of the most psychotic things I think I've ever seen in my life was whenever
he licked the gloves.
He licked his own gloves like he was like. He like took a few punches from Woodley.
Woodley was like, "Come on!" And Jake just went.
He's over there licking, making out with his gloves, and like
that was weird.
Well, see, that's another cool thing is that the last fight I actually watched was the Fury Wilder, and there was a part in the match where Fury was just sitting there beating the crap out of Wilder, and he licked his blood off of his ear. It was just like, dude, it was crazy.
That's terrifying.
Dude, fighters, I can tell you one thing. Boxers, they don't understand how much these, like, people don't understand how much gloves weigh, but you just imagine just getting knocked around.
Yes.
And these people are freaking insane. Like, I know, like, Mike Tyson sit there and bit Evander Holyfield's ear off, or something like that. Dude, these people are crazy, man.
And you have to be so in shape.
Oh, yes.
Like, it's insane.
Like, I actually trained, I boxed for, like, 3 months before COVID hit, and listen, that's the most, like, in shape I ever felt, like, during them 3 months, just because, I mean, you're sitting there for two rounds, just sitting there moving around, constantly not trying to get hit, and trying to hit somebody, trying to move. So, I mean, listen, them people are very special guys.
You have to, like, think really fast.
Oh, yeah, it's very fast. I mean, you got somebody
probably
just sitting
faster
throwing
than,
their
like,
hands
any other sport.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, be quick on your feet, literally.
I don't understand, like, how people can just constantly take those punches.
I don't know,
I know if I took... Just even
I'd get in the ring and I'd be like, all right, I'm about to win this fight. They punch me once in the ring, so like, bro, chill, dude. We ain't got me hitting that hard. Like,
these are grown men.
Yeah, no way would I have ever boxed Mike Tyson.
These are grown men who have trained their entire life to knock you out.
Yes, to hit you as hard as they possibly can, as many times as they possibly can.
If we got hit by like Mike Tyson, we would die.
Yeah,
but if they get hit, they're like just wiping off.
It's because they're people who got hit by Mike Tyson were out, but they're huge.
Is there, like, adrenaline just so high to the point where they just like, don't even feel anything?
Well, that's another thing I've noticed in football and everything. Like, on Friday nights, it's crazy. Like, during practice week, you don't really feel that adrenaline. But when you got, fans coming behind you and just pushing you and you hear them cheering for you, man, I swear it gives you the biggest adrenaline rush ever, man.
The
it's
band
crazy.
The band
is hard,
and
bro.
I know for, like...
Hey, it's me hype.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, like, for these fighters and everything, I mean, you hear them, you hit somebody hard, and you're like, man. And you, like, you know, get that, like,
their adrenaline's got to be crazy.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
I'm sure Paul also had
a couple drugs.
Yes. But he also had a much greater reason to fight well. You know what I mean? Because he is in front of his home state.
Yeah.
And he sold out an arena that he went to as a kid, watching, like you said, LeBron play and everything. So he definitely probably was way more hyped up and ready than Woodley. Woodley just kind
of
came in there just being like,
no,
I'm making my money. And
but he wanted
I mean, it's not like he didn't
want to
win. But yeah, but I mean, Jake was in front of the hometown. It would just be like if you box someone in Lebanon High School's gym when you're older. You know, like, it would just mean that much more.
Well, see, I wouldn't say, I mean, I'm sure, but listen, like you guys said, I mean,
Tyron Woodley, I think.
Tyron Woodley. Yeah, his, Jake actually talked about his mom or something like that during like an interview, and they got like in a full brawl.
They got in a lot of
fights. Like I'm sure the Woodley dude was just in there ready to freaking knock him out, just ready to. But I mean, just couldn't.
That's really just for like the press.
I'm about to say, all that
see,
stuff.
Like I said, like, people hate Jake Paul, but I mean, he does it to make money. He's making more money doing it, so he's selling out more.
He
of his
is
fights.
Making a lot of money. I'll give him that.
You look at some of these like no name. I mean, they can't talk on the mic. None of them guys. Can't talk no trash. I mean, they're not making any money. They're like the, you know, not the big fight. But
there's a select few that can do it.
Yeah.
Because Pacquiao's like the nicest dude ever.
Oh, yeah.
He's sold some fights.
Oh, yeah. I was actually going to go to a Pacquiao fight in Vegas.
Because I remember him and Floyd's face-off, he just started laughing. Pacquiao's like the nicest dude ever. I don't know how he's a fighter.
Someone like a fighter to be just like super nice,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, beat you up in the ring and then hug you afterwards. But do you guys think that Jake did win?
Honestly, I did think he did win.
Yeah, I agree.
Woodley, like you guys said, he had a bunch of good...
He had the stronger rounds, but he had much less.
He had a few good rounds, but, I mean, Jake went in there, and he had the more hits, the powerful hits.
Yeah.
I feel like if they would have, like, just kept on going, like, there was never any end to it, I feel like probably
Woodley probably would have won.
He would have won. Yeah. But it's just one... I mean, it's one of the things he's a better... I think Jake was a better boxer, honestly, to be honest. I feel like Woodley was the better, you know...
Athlete,
yeah. So.
Just still waiting for the day that Paul fights a middle-aged man that's an actual boxer.
Yes.
Even one that's just an average. Doesn't have to be a big old name, like...
I would like to see him fight an actual boxer.
Yes.
But maybe like an average one. Not even just like a elite, top-of-the-line,
which is what's going to happen, which sucks for him, honestly, because he's going to go straight from a not-boxer to Fury.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be like, maybe fight a boxer first. Because I just mean, like, is elite not boxer the same as a regular level boxer? Like, I don't know. It's a completely different style of fighting. So I would like to see him do that. And someone who's not 40. But I mean, props
or
to him. Woodley was a good athlete.
Either.
Yeah.
Or a basketball player.
Yeah.
Anybody who's like.
Oh my gosh. Did y'all see what he said to Myles Garrett?
No, what did he say?
So Myles Garrett.
Do not say he could beat up Myles Garrett. He said
Myles Garrett had trash talk like Logan, and then Jake came back and was like, "Stay in your lane, bro. You saw what I did to an NBA player." He was like, "Yes, Jake. You knocked out a 5'3" NBA player. I don't think I'd mess with Myles Garrett."
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, no way. Myles Garrett would destroy Jake Paul.
It was ridiculous. This is kind of going away from the Jake Paul side of things, but another crazy story that happened in football, which I'm sure a lot of people have heard about, is IMG Academy.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is pretty much like a college. It's a high school, technically, but it's a bunch of kids that just go in and play sports. They go to class, but they're
for
not
like 2 hours.
They're not going for class. They're going because they are one of the top high school players in the country. So it's like a big like high school super team, pretty much.
And going back to when you said like the 1 out of 57 or whatever, like
they're like 57. All of them, they're 57 out of 57. They have some of the best kids every year. They won the national championship last year for Max Preps and all this other stuff. But they played. I don't guess it was their opening week, maybe week two or something like that. But they play on ESPN this weekend. Versus a school named Bishop Sycamore. Straight ESPN. So, yes. A high school game on
also,
ESPN.
Also, this Bishop Sycamore played Friday, too.
Yes.
So, this is their second game in 3 days.
Friday and Saturday. Yeah. Friday and Saturday.
Yes. So
I'm still recovering on that third
me
day.
Too. People, I'm still sore in my neck.
People were looking into it, and ESPN was looking into it, and they got the word that Bishop Sycamore had
multiple
Division
D1
players.
Athletes.
Yes.
Yes.
And they get their start in the game, and... After the first quarter, it's like 30-0. IMG is absolutely destroying these guys. And people are like, I really have no idea where they're hearing
where are these D1 guys?
Any of these D1 guys, because they're all terrible.
Yeah.
And so word got out a few days. They ended up beating them, like, I think it was like 55-0.
It was 58-0.
It was like 6. They scored 56, like, yeah.
Okay, whatever
58
it was.
58-0 was fine.
Yeah, I know they shut them out. Yeah. But... they were getting out a few days later that apparently Bishop Sycamore isn't even a school. Like, it was something made up in Ohio that technically is, they called it a online-only school.
So
the address was a house.
To add on, not only is this place not real, their coach is wanted. He's a wanted man. He has a bunch of felonies. He's a wanted man, their head coach is. And every single one of their players has graduated from college. It said they were like failed JUCO guys. So they were playing 25-year-olds and still lost 58-0.
Well, I saw when I was coming in, I saw a video of a dude who got hurt and it was like ESPN was like, "Oh, we don't have a number on this dude.
They didn't have enough helmets. Yeah. They would swap helmets when someone else came in.
And now that's hilarious. Did IMG like schedule this game knowing this or not?
No, they played them last year. Yeah, from what I've heard, apparently they played them last year. Now, from what I've also heard too is that there was a school, but it wasn't called Bishop Sycamore. They changed the name of it.
So IMG had like a scheduled ESPN game. And Bishop Sycamore called in and be like, "Hey, we're the right matchup for IMG. We hear you got a game for them. We're really real. Got multiple D1 athletes on the team. Our coach obeys the law. Think it'd be a really good game." And ESPN looked them up, and they're like, "Well, I don't see anything." Fair enough. You got it, buddy.
That's not even on. On ESPN at that point, that's on IMG. How does IMG not
ESPN's the one that was like, "Sounds good, you can play them."
Because
ESPN's guy that was researching it admitted, he was like, "I'm gonna be honest, every time I looked him up, nothing came up." But I was like, "Fair enough. I mean, I'm a little lost, but fair enough."
the announcers were like, "Well, yeah, Jim, I'm gonna be honest, I don't have anything on these guys now, but that number 17, he's only fumbled twice this game, you know."
Yeah, there's been a lot of memes. My favorite one was that they signed Cam Newton today.
I saw also too, like Adam Schefter, he tweeted out, he was like, "Breaking news, Bishop Sycamore's head coach, whatever the one in man was, has been fired." And I'm like, "Well,
from what?"
What's he getting fired from? This is a made-up fake school.
Yeah, there's a lot of memes. If y'all know the Manti Te'o memes, they said
his fake girlfriend.
His girlfriend goes to Bishop Sycamore.
That is very true. I like that one.
Oh man, there's been so many today.
Dude, that's just awesome. The whole situation just completely blows my mind. Just how it even happens. Like a multi-million dollar company.
Oop, breaking news. What's her name? Bishop Sycamore signing Tim Tebow.
Just
came out.
Nice.
There's been a lot of another one to Cam Newton was the kid from the Danimals commercial. They said grew up to be Mac Jones.
I saw that one.
He's the kid that's like, "I'll play."
Thanks a lot for coming to my school today.
No problem, Nate.
I promise to exercise and eat right.
Don't forget 60 minutes play of play 60 a day, right?
And I'll grow up to be big and strong like you.
Absolutely.
I'm playing the NFL.
Yes, sir.
I'll be drafting
15th, maybe.
Become the starting quarterback of the
Patriots.
Okay.
Be a quarterback. Patriots.
Forget about you.
And then it says, "This kid grew up to be Mac Jones."
Dude, that's awesome. Listen, I got to give it to that man. You sit there and you're behind the, like, I was looking on Alabama's page. You're behind the best three, quarterbacks and probably, some would say in Alabama history. I mean, you got Jalen, you got Tua, and you're sitting there at third string. You get a DUI. You don't transfer. You stay in there. In your final year, you go on to be a Heisman finalist. You go on to win a national championship. You go to be a first-round draft pick to the Patriots, man. It's crazy. This the testament to that dude of, like, sticking in. Like, you never quit. You always, stayed to the task, because he's going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL week one. Crazy.
Do you think he'll be that successful in the NFL?
I think he will be. I think he'll be better than Tua.
I made the bold prediction that in the entire Saban era, even after, like, these next couple years, whenever Saban brings in more quarterbacks into the NFL and stuff, Mac Jones will have the most success.
Well, that's not a very bold prediction. Y'all have never had a good quarterback in your entire history of your entire program.
Well, yes,
other
but you're also
Joe Namath.
You're also looking at Jalen and Tua now. That
well, Tua's awful. Jalen's fine.
They can turn their careers around.
I mean, you really can't.
I don't know. That Sims guy was pretty good.
Like Sims.
I like Coker.
I don't even think he played in it.
Probably not. AJ McCarron's don't.
Yeah,
oh,
see,
he got
no, he got hurt. He got hurt.
Yeah, cut. Too.
I was gonna say that. Yeah. AJ McCarron's been playing since, 2013.
He was y'all's last like actual pro style quarterback.
Oh yeah.
They're now. Hey, he did dominate the Titans that 1 week.
Oh yeah.
There was there was like that 1 week where the
was
Texans
like the,
had they had like the playoff spot locked up and they benched everybody. And the Titans had to win to get in the playoffs, and A.J. McCarron almost beat the Titans.
A.J. McCarron always looked like y'all's most, like, NFL-caliber quarterback.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Well, see, now we have
He won the national championship twice,
Twice,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was in, like, 2012, 2013.
Now, the last game he played was against Oklahoma.
And
the Sugar Bowl, that was not a good game.
And then they should have just handed the ball off to freaking Derrick Henry just running it all over people as a freshman, but Lane Kiffin, you know, did not do that. So
screw Alabama's Kiffin. Running back depth chart at one point was insane.
They had like that, well, that was like back in the year whenever like they had like Kamara and everything before.
Yeah. They had like Damian Harris, Derrick. They had everybody. It was ridiculous.
Yeah,
and Kamara. Yeah, Kamara was like y'all's fifth stringer, and he's there.
Now he's the best, one of the best running backs in the
NFL. Like most athletic running back.
Yeah, I still have yet to understand what people see in Christian McCaffrey. Is it just me, or like why does everybody like?
Well, I mean, he's like
number one.
He's number one fantasy football wise because he's the only good player on their team.
Well, no, I see like, well, I see that too, and I see like all these people like.
It's just because he's a three down back.
Oh, okay. That's see, I've always wondered like, why is he so like highly touted and like, you know, people just, man, Christian McCaffrey, he's the best. Like, well, you got people like Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, who's
it's because three down back means.
So
well, that means he plays, he can play any down.
Yeah, it means he's a receiving back too.
Okay.
So you have your two down backs like Derrick Henry that the first two downs are just going to run at you, but then if it's third and five, you're going to take him out because he's not going to catch a pass. To where you have your Aaron Jones, your Kamaras, your Christian McCaffreys that could honestly go and play slot. So your three down backs are your three down backs and Derrick Henry are the only two running backs you want to pay. Because two down backs, I mean, they're disposable. You can find a two down back on the side
unless
of the street.
Derrick Henry.
Well, yeah. Derrick Henry's the exception. But that's why guys like Kamara and McCaffrey are highly regarded because there's not many three down backs.
I've always heard that Kamara. McCaffrey is a better playmaker, but Derrick Henry is a better running back.
They're completely their playing styles completely different. You
got
5 foot
that's
six.
That's like comparing MJ and LeBron.
It's kind of like comparing a PO and a position player only.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's like comparing a contact hitter to a home run hitter. I mean, you both got your playing styles, but Derrick Henry's the in the trenches, I'm going to run it at you, the tough, hard-nosed football, and then McCaffrey's your flashy, like, juke, you know, he's like more explosive, I guess, but yeah, different styles. And then Kamara's more like, he's like a Le'Veon Bell version of McCaffrey. Just the, might not be the fastest, might not be the strongest, but it's just so conditioned and skilled that he just whittles his way to success.
I'm sure that's what the IMG, or the
Bishop
Sycamore.
All their players are like that too. They were raw. But they did score on their game on Friday. I think they lost like 35-7, but they did score.
Well, I heard they went 0-8
last year. Probably last week, Friday, I don't know. Yeah, they're like last 2 years, they've gone like 0-8 both years as 25-year-olds. Yeah.
But
they're D1.
They're not a part of the Ohio.
Y'all just wait until they get their chance.
Ohio High School Athletic Associate, whatever they call it. But no one has picked up on it until now.
Yeah.
I
feel bad for that coach. You get fired and then arrested the same day.
That's unfortunate.
Very bad day.
Hey, but they got their payday because I'm sure you get paid for playing.
It's like that TikTok where it's they're like,
bring me my money.
No, it's one
somebody tell them to bring me my money.
It's like, well, I lost this, I lost that. Hey, but I got the money though. Yeah. Lost my job.
And then
I got
arrested.
Hey, but I got paid.
I'll be on ESPN. Yeah, I can't believe this happened. That's crazy.
All right, so on that note, I feel like we are going to end episode 15 of the number one podcast.
That's kind of a milestone.
15.
Yeah, that's halfway to 30,
congrats,
which is one third to 90, which is basically 100.
Yeah.
Congrats, happy 100 episodes.
Happy 100. We made it.
It's been a long time
in
the making.
We did it, guys.
Listen, I'm very proud of you guys. I never did think it would get to 15 episodes. I didn't even think it would get past like 3. I thought you guys would get tired of it, but props to you guys. Way to go. 15. That is very good. I'm very proud of you guys.
Thank
you.
Thank
you, Hayden.
I was happy. I'm happy that I could, you know, join this, you know.
You've been trying to hook us up with some guys. Yep. Episode 100 already here.
Yeah.
We'll have you on for episode 100.
I hope. Hopefully, we're just sitting around here. You know, we'll be like 30. You know, with our kids.
Multi-million dollars. from the podcast.
It'll be a podcast. Still on the same ping pong table, but like in a huge mansion.
Yeah, yeah. Mansion, like, you know, good old full sin, man.
We'll never get rid of this ping pong.
Yeah. No, we won't. This is, you know, I'm gonna go look back at this ping pong table like whenever like I'm 40 and be like, man.
The memory.
Share. At one point when we're retired, we'll just have it framed up on the ping pong table.
The only one. No, it'll be in the museum. It won't be anywhere else.
Back in the early 2000s, there was podcasts, notably 615 Guys. Here's their ping pong table.
Oh, my goodness.
Until the days we are in museums and in history books. You get to listen to
episode
15.
We are in the basement.
Yeah, episode 15.
Sean Redmond's house.
We're stuck in the basement.
So just make sure, guys, just share, you know.
Rigsby, you got any last word before we take a little send-off?
Thank you guys again for having
Thanks
me
Thanks for coming on,
I
man.
Appreciate it. It was pretty cool, you know. All the cool, you know, questions and everything you guys had for me.
Hayden's been a big part of it. He got us Scott Meyer early on, and he's always been trying to get us cool people, so we appreciate that.
Oh yeah, most definitely. You guys
We'll find some more long snappers for the future. Keep the trend
listen,
going.
I'll try, man. I got a lot of contacts. If you guys can, do the call-ins. Listen, I would love to help you guys out and find anybody I can.
That is one thing we have been working on lately. Is for you guys is trying to get call-ins and be able to work on to where we can call people in and get guests not having to come to the basement.
Yeah, like you know, just your casual Joe Rogans and you know like. George Washington, and just, you know, civil people like that.
Yeah, you know. But until then. Once again, we want to thank this week's sponsor.
Thank you, D-Dye.
We love you. Thanks for coming up with our name.
Yep. We appreciate it.
Which is the number one podcast recorded on ping pong table. 615 Guys, until next time.
615 Guys out.
See you.
See you.